Well, hopefully we can be heard now. It is a final in Boston, or excuse me, in Orlando tonight. Game number 17 on the regular season, heading towards the quarter pole in the regular season here in the 2015-2016 NBA regular season, as the Boston Celtics lose tonight in Orlando, 110-91. Again, this was one of those games tonight. And again, if you're listening here on CLNS Radio, this is a post-game show for the Boston Celtics tonight. I understand that right now the New England Patriots are in session and about to play the Denver Broncos in a big-time Sunday night football game, and I understand that this will be a tough one. I don't know where Corey Prescott's at as of right now, but we will get him on the air the moment he jumps on. We do have a caller on the line. We'll get to him in just a second. The one thing I wanted to talk about was the fact that this game tonight, I tuned in and watched it. I was kind of multitasking. I was watching some football, watching some things around here. For those of you that don't know, my name is Chris Morrison, Simo Buckets on the Hooper's Log podcast. I don't know where Corey Prescott is. He's supposed to be my co-host today, but we'll get him on if he does get on eventually. Again, kind of a crazy night for Boston sports tonight again. And the Boston Celtics lose to the Orlando Magic 110-91. The one thing I wanted to mention before I get to my caller here in a second about this game was that this was an interesting game because they just came off of a dominating performance against the Washington Wizards, 111-78 on November 27th, the day before. It was on Black Friday. They dominated the Washington Wizards, and this team was hovering around the eighth spot in the Eastern Conference. And seeing a game like tonight, the way it unfolded, you saw a lot of mismatches that will bug a team like Boston all season long. Nikola Vucevic is one of the better players in the NBA when it comes to his size and his fundamentals and his just ability to get to the rim as a big man. He's one of the tougher guys to guard down low in the NBA just in general. And you saw it on display today. Some of the face-up jumpers he had were just uncontested from his standpoint, just from the standpoint of he's just a bigger guy, a better player than people give him credit for. And tonight he went 18-10, had a couple of assists, very few turnovers. Again, they only had – I mean, both teams didn't really have that many turnovers tonight. I mean, the Boston Celtics had 11. And the Magic had 13. So both teams are relatively a little off, but on the whole, I mean, this Orlando Magic's team tonight, you saw what the future will display for this team. Victor Oladipo, he had 19, 8.8 rebounds, 6 assists, an outstanding stat line for him, a couple of steals. Nicholson, they had 5 guys in double figures. Harris, Vucevic, Nicholson, Oladipo, Aaron Gordon, guys really coming in and fulfilling their role. I mean, the Celtics weren't much slouch either. I mean, Isaiah Thomas, 20 points, 7 assists, an outstanding stat line from him. But you saw what can happen to this Boston Celtics team throughout the year when it comes to mismatches, when it comes to talent. And I'm not sitting here saying that the Boston Celtics don't have talent, but when they come out and they don't have the best of matchups, you're looking at a team that's just not going to win the amount of games that we think they should. I mean, really, just look at the matchups tonight. Victor Oladipo, Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley's an outstanding defender, but Victor Oladipo is up there too, and he's getting better every single year. Elfrid Payton is just a bigger player than Isaiah Thomas. Solinger, I am going to say, and this is a crazy statement, but Jared Solinger is a poor man's Draymond Green. But to be honest, Draymond Green is turning into one of the best small forwards in the NBA. Jared Solinger is just kind of hovering, trying to stay around. You know, he's great. Fundamentally, he's stepping up every night, but he's just a poor man's version of Draymond Green, the way he plays the game. Stat line won't be there, but the way he plays the game, the way he sets up his teammates, his effort, he's getting there. And then a guy in Jay Crowder. Again, I don't know what's going on with Jay Crowder and his offense this year. Maybe he's not the go-to guy. But tonight was a night where, you know, Evan Turner, 1-for-7 from the field. You know, again, Jared Solinger, only 1-for-7 from the field as well. Kelly Olynyk, 1-for-5. When you have some guys have some poor shooting nights and you're already mismatched when it comes to size down low or even at the guard position, this is what's going to happen to you. And this is what happened to the Boston Celtics tonight. Again, they're now 9-8, still hovering around that spot. The Orlando Magic jumped to 9-8. So here in the early portions of the season, we're seeing some of the weaknesses come out for the Boston Celtics, at least as of tonight. Obviously, over the last couple of games, they have been playing out of their mind. Obviously, they didn't play well against Atlanta. They lost to Brooklyn. They split it against Brooklyn. They beat Dallas. They almost beat Dallas on November 18th. Obviously, Houston wasn't much of a chance, but they destroyed Washington, who most people have made the case that they're a top team in the Eastern Conference just by talent alone. And the Boston Celtics, when they play good basketball, they're tough to beat. And tonight just wasn't the case. We have a caller on the line. Caller, would you like to talk here? You're on the line right now.
Sure. How's it going?
It's going good, man. Did you watch this game tonight?
Yeah, I live down here in Tampa. I'm originally from New Bedford, but I've been down in the Tampa Bay Area for the past 15 years, and we do get the Magic broadcast down here, so I was able to watch, you know, a little bit of it back, you know, keeping an eye on it. As I saw the game, you know, kind of getting out of hand, I stopped paying as close attention because
right.
I absolutely can't stand the Orlando Magic. Their fans are just bandwagon fans. When,
right.
when Dwight Howard was in town, there were so many Magic fans, and then Dwight Howard left and LeBron came to Miami, and then those same fans suddenly became Heat fans. It's just there's no tradition and no history when it comes to the Florida teams compared to, you know, the teams like we have up north, and especially the, you know, the Boston Celtics, the most tradition rich team of all time. You know, just had to put that out there. But no, I think you covered pretty much most of the points that I was looking at. You know, Evan Turner 1-for-7, Kelly Olynyk 1-for-5, Jared Sullinger 1-for-7. I mean, that's just terrible stuff. And even worse
right.
than that was a three-point shooting. I mean, you can't shoot 18.5%, less than under 19% from three and expect to win an NBA game, especially when you're shooting 27 of them. So, I mean, like, you know, that's a real big issue is still no perimeter shooting. I think that in a game like this, especially one where, I mean, the Magic kind of dominated from beginning to end, I think I might have
yep.
liked to have seen a little bit more maybe RJ Hunter, you know, get some more of him in there, get some playing time for him, for that young man. Another thing, it's interesting. I know some people don't like the plus-minus stat, and I just found it interesting, you know, Avery Bradley had 17 points. You know, statistically, you would think he didn't have a horrible game. Shot
right.
7 for 15, which is just under, I guess, 50%. Didn't shoot all that well from 3, but was a negative 20, the worst plus-minus in the box score. And I think, for me, it kind of, like, highlights the point that, you know, Avery Bradley has kind of, you know, elevated his game this season, and I think he's stepped up and he's had some pretty big games for us. But I think that it, like, to get him into scoring, I think sometimes it takes the rest of the offense, like, out of the flow. I don't know, maybe I'm the only person that, you know, isn't an Avery, like, a huge Avery Bradley fan, you know, out of the bottom
right.
of this nation. But I think it kind of takes, like, a little bit away from it, and I think you can see that here, that when he's on the floor, we're looking for him to do, you know, maybe a little bit more than what he's really capable of doing. I mean, he's a 15-point-per-game guy, and we're needing him, and we're expecting him to maybe do, like, you know, 20, 27 points, like 25 points,
mm-hmm.
like he's been doing recently. And I think kind
yeah.
of trying to force him to get into his game, even when he's shooting reasonably well like he did tonight, maybe sometimes takes the rest of the team out of, you know, their game. Those are just a few observations I have.
No, and I agree with that. I mean, I agree with you on the standpoint of, look, this team has some expectations from the fans that I think is a little unrealistic when it comes to particular players. You know, Isaiah Thomas, people have high praise on him when it comes to his offensive capability. The guy, Isaiah Thomas, is a guy that can get you quick spurts off the bench, but he's not a guy who's going to start and be a productive player every single night. He's a guy who's going to get you 20 points a game, but that's 20 minutes in about a 30-minute span off the bench, and that's selective spots where he's going to have to play. And I'm not saying, you know, a 5-10-minute guy like a Corey Joseph, but a guy where he can come in and play a 15, 20 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes a game, depending upon how the starting lineup's doing. And tonight he just played the performance of, look, I mean, he 20 points looks good, but 7 of 18 is not going to cut it. I mean, when you only have 18 shots and 20 points, that's not going to cut it in the NBA, especially when you only shoot 1 of 6 from 3 as Isaiah Thomas did. And again, Avery Bradley, as you mentioned, 7 of 15, not bad. Not a bad game overall shooting, but again, poor from the three-point line. And I think tonight people just expected him to play better than he did. But as I mentioned, I mean, you got a guy like Victor Oladipo there in Orlando, and when you have a guy like him facing up against a guy like Avery Bradley, the size difference really takes away from what Avery Bradley can do on the offensive side, along with the fact that Isaiah Thomas, as we all know, is a shorter guy, Elfrid Payton's not a small player, everybody. Elfrid Payton's a big man, and when he all he's got to do is put his body in front of Isaiah Thomas to help him out. That's all you need to know about what happened. And I mentioned earlier Nikola Vucevic. There were multiple times where I saw him take face-up jumpers, and I thought, okay, this game is going to get out of hand quickly, because if this guy is getting open, easy buckets from, you know, the mid-range game and he's making it, good luck. Because there's nothing else really you can do from the standpoint of the talent on the Boston Celtics, overall talent that they have that can contain this. Because if Nikola Vucevic is hitting from the outside, Elfrid Payton's getting where he wants to go, Victor Oladipo's getting pretty much everything he wants to do get going, you're looking at a team that becomes not the best team ever, or, you know, really the best team in the NBA. But when it comes to talent on a nightly, on a once-in-a-while basis, Orlando can click. And when they can click on those nights like they did tonight, they're pretty much darn close to unbeatable. And they've shown that in this early portion of the season, where realistically this team right now, Orlando, could have 15, they could have 13 wins right now, 15, 13 wins right now, first 17 games of the year based upon some of their early matchups. But as we've seen from the Boston Celtics, you know, they have played well too, but they've also kind of played a little inconsistent. That's what you're going to see from a team right now that's 9-8. You're going to see a win one, lose one type mentality, especially with the talent that they have in Boston. They don't have necessarily all of the best talent, but on the whole, when it comes to their ability to win ball games and make the transition to get the victories, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult for them in Boston to really catch up to teams like Orlando when it comes to their size, because frankly, the Celtics don't have the size that the Magic have. They just don't. And if a Magic team can get going like they have, you're going to see a tough one. Caller, do you want to stay on the line, or do you want me to just let you go?
If I could just like have like 2 seconds to like make, you know, one
no
real
problem.
Quick comment. I call this show frequently. I think this is the first time I've heard you as the host. What's your name, man?
My name is Chris Morrison. I actually go by Simo Buckets. I do a Hooper's Log podcast. My website is simobuckets.com. I've done previous shows in the past. I've done shows such as The Daily Craze. I did it here on Blog Talk Radio. I also, like I said, I do the Hooper's Log. I do it every day, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, daily. We're going into our 19th show tomorrow throughout the season. If you want to listen to that on the podcast, feel free. We're going to be putting shows up on the app here shortly for CLNS. But I've been doing that for the past year. I jumped on to this CLNS area, this broadcast team back in, I'd say, May, officially. I've been doing post games every once in a while for them back since January. But I overall have been with them since May, and I've been doing a show called The Hooper's Log. And before that, I did a show with a friend of mine his name is Marty Elmo. It's called Speed Hump Sports. I was a co-host for them. I've been around the Blog Talk atmosphere for a solid year and a half, 2 years now. And so I've been doing this for a while, and I joined CLNS so that I could help get, you know, some viewership, some people to listen. And I only do Celtics postgame shows on the weekends because I work at night here on the West Coast. So there's no way I can ever get to do a postgame show for the Celtics. So, but what were you saying? Do you have any more comments?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, like, I've listened for so long, and I wanted to give you credit for being the first person that's actually acknowledged the size issue, not just with Isaiah Thomas, which obviously having a 5'9" point guard, but also having a 6'2" shooting guard as well creates major issues, especially on as good as a defender as Avery Bradley is. When he gets hit with a pick, or when he's coming off of a pick and he has to close out, that lack of size is an issue, especially when you have bigger players like Elfrid Payton and bigger players like Victor Oladipo. And so many people just want to put it on Isaiah Thomas being tiny, and his defense is probably some of the worst on the team, and Avery Bradley obviously is, you know, three times the defender he is, but the size, you can't have a 5'9" point guard and a 6'2" shooting guard in the backcourt and expect to have, you know, success against teams where, especially in this league, where you have guys now that are 6'7", 6'8", playing the two. I mean, you got these really big players, and a 6'2" guy like Avery Bradley is, you know, God love him, I like him, he's a great player, good defense, but it becomes an issue both offensively and defensively when, you know, he gets abused because of his size.
Exactly. And the thing is, and you bring up a great point, this is one thing I've wanted to tell Boston fans when it comes to this backcourt and the issues overall for this team. Big man-wise, I mean, they got Amir Johnson. They've got Solinger, who's looking like he's getting better overall as a player, not just scoring-wise, but overall as a player. Evan Turner has size. He's getting better. He didn't play well tonight, but he's getting better. Direkpo is a guy who can spread it from the outside. David Lee has a championship aura, and he's been an all-star in the past. Olynyk, another guy who's got finesse type of game. But like you said, Avery Bradley is a guy who can play really good defense on the ones. He can play defense on a guy like Derrick Rose, on a guy like maybe he can slow down. He's never going to stop a guy like Russell Westbrook, but maybe he can slow him down. Maybe he can slow down a guy in Steph Curry. That's it, though. He's not going to be able to even touch Klay Thompson because of Klay Thompson's height. He's not going to touch Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
He's not going to touch a guy like Kobe Bryant when he was good. And unfortunately, we heard some sad news about Kobe Bryant in his career tonight, but I think everyone saw it coming sooner or later. We'll get to that in a second, but the point is when it comes down to guys who are, like you said, guys that are 6'3 and above, good luck with that, because you're expecting a guy, like you said, he's lucky to be 6'2 maybe. And you're talking about a guy where just naturally you put your hands up, you got a guy who, you know, and you saw it today in Nikola Vucevic. When you've got a guy who can shoot a face-up jumper with his hands over his head, nobody can guard that. You can't. And that's the issue they're going to face when it comes to their ability to guard on the perimeter. And on top of that, with a guy like Elfrid Payton, like I just said, and you made the point, I mean, Isaiah Thomas's defense, Isaiah Thomas reminds me a lot of James Harden. He is a poor man's James Harden, but a small version. he can score, he can do it all, but on the defensive side of the ball, he's going to disappear and you're never going to see him again. That's pretty much what he does. That's James Harden, exactly. And so, but when it comes to the size factor, all you got to do is put a guy like Derrick Rose on Isaiah Thomas, and you're going to win. Because Derrick Rose can see over everybody. Yep. He can see the floor. Russell Westbrook is going to put 40 on Isaiah Thomas all day long. Steph Curry is going to shoot over Isaiah Thomas. Steph Curry's 6'3". All he's got to do is take a step back jumper, and he's going to feel the confidence all day. That's the other thing, and that's the point I wanted to bring up too before I close on that topic is. That it's the confidence factor. When you put a bigger backcourt, and I'm not talking like big as in like both guys are 6'5". I'm talking about like guys that are, you know, a 6'2 point guard and a 6'5 shooting guard. When you put guys like that in the backcourt and they go and they play Boston, it is Thanksgiving dinner. Speaking of Thanksgiving, it is Thanksgiving dinner for those guys every single time they see that, because they're like, Isaiah Thomas, 5'8", a little Avery Bradley, 6'1". He's tough. He's like a gnat, though. He's kind of irritating. He's not gonna guard a 6'5 shooting guard and be effective every single time down the floor. Now, there's going to be times where he'll steal the ball. There'll be times where he plays good. But on the whole, for the entire game, if he puts it all together, that's a win for the Celtics, because overall, he's going to only give you maybe 35, 40% of that type of effort every time on a 6'5 guard. Jimmy Butler is going to play the Celtics every single night that he plays them. He's going to be like, oh, man, all I got to do is get the ball in the perimeter, make a pump fake, make a couple of moves, back him down, expand my offense, and it's over. DeMar DeRozan, every time he plays a guy like Avery Bradley, good luck. Good luck. DeMar DeRozan is going to back him down and get 40. That's just what's going to happen. And so you bring up a good point on the size, and that's another thing that I wanted to get to, and that's what I wanted to talk about. Anything else you want to talk about, caller, before we really recap the rest of this game, or if you want to listen on the line, feel free.
Oh, no, that was about it. I wonder what the solution for that is. I think Marcus Smart, when he was in the lineup, was, you know, the good, you know, counterbalance. He has the defense that, you know,
right.
some of the defense Avery Bradley has, but you know, a decent amount more, not only just height, but also, you know, the girth and the size. I think in his absence, I would honestly have a long time ago considered moving Evan Turner to the starting two. If you're going to have,
right.
you know, Avery Bradley there, Isaiah Thomas, either one, I'd probably go with Avery Bradley and then have Evan Turner maybe start the one, because we know Avery Bradley can't run a point to save his life. I mean, he can't pass, he can't really dribble, none of that stuff. But if you put Evan Turner, who, I mean, the thing about Evan Turner is this. Even if he has a bad shooting game like he did tonight, 1-for-7, he's not going to totally murder you like if Isaiah Thomas has a bad shooting night where he might go 3-for-23. So the thing is, and if you also look, I don't have the stats in front of me anymore, but Evan Turner may have had a bad scoring night, 2 points, but he had, I think, 6 assists and 4 rebounds or something. He's going to give you something else, and he had 0 turnovers tonight, by the way, also. So he's going to give you something else that I think if you put him in that backcourt with Avery Bradley, give him the ball handling duties, he makes up for that size. You have, you know, Avery Bradley can cover the one. You had Evan Turner, 6'7", can cover, you know, pretty much any two in the league for the most part, except for maybe the real smaller guys. And then there you have a better lineup, a little bit more offense also, because Evan Turner, for me, in my opinion, I think he helps the offense flow. I think things move a little bit better. Some people say he pounds the ball stops at him. But I think if you look at his assist numbers in you know, how the ball just moves, the eye test, if you look at it, I think things tend to flow a little bit better. So that might be the answer instead of going with Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley in the starting backcourt, because there isn't a starting backcourt in the NBA that is not going to have a size advantage on that backcourt. It's just it's the smallest backcourt in the NBA, and especially in the East, like you just went through, Jimmy Butler, whoever, you know, in the West, Westbrook, Derrick Rose when he's healthy, you know, these type of players, they're just going to eat us alive. I think Evan Turner, you know, people have their issues with him, but I think the size, his size that he makes up for is, you know, makes up for some of the difference in, you know, the his maybe lapses in defenses compared to, you know, some of the other players. Maybe his inability to score in spurts like Isaiah Thomas, but his size will make up for that in, you know, the long run. But great discussion, man. Awesome. Yeah. I like to hear you on the show.
That's a good point. All right, cool. I'm going to take you off the air here for a second, caller. All right. That was a good discussion. I agree with him. I actually like that take on Evan Turner. I think that's an outstanding move for the standpoint of Marcus Smart being gone for this team right now is actually an outstanding point because of the standpoint. I mean, I watched Evan Turner start for this team last year a couple of times when they were going through some, I mean, let's just be honest, last year was a hodgepodge of roster changes. It was one of the craziest years when it came to roster changes by any team I've ever seen. But watching Evan Turner play last year a couple of times, he made a couple of plays and a couple of adjustments on this team that were unbelievable. I mean, he made this team a little bit better and actually helped them, especially in March when he started really jumping into that two-guard, one-guard position, and he started helping this team out. That would actually be a really good scenario where if you put Evan Turner at the one, you put Avery Bradley at the two, and you play them on the offensive side on that angle, and then you also put Evan Turner on the two because he's got the size advantage, and you put Avery Bradley on the one on the defensive side, I think that would be an outstanding adjustment all by itself for the time being. I agree with him. Marcus Smart would be an outstanding. He's great when he plays defense. He's actually one of the better young defenders in the NBA, Marcus Smart. And when he's out there playing the point guard, he does a great job. He does a great job on the point guard. Avery Bradley does a great job defensively, but again, he's not going to guard the guy all the time, which where he can shift, switch off and play the point guard, he'll do fine. He'll do good enough. It's when it comes to the two-guard position of defending is where it becomes difficult. And when you see a guy like Isaiah Thomas playing the amount of minutes he played tonight, I mean, again, he had 20 points. He did okay. But again, playing 32 minutes for Isaiah Thomas, he is not going to be effective later on in ball games, not from the standpoint of he'll get tired or whatnot. It just becomes the matchup problem because if you're going to run him out there the whole game, all Elfrid Payton's got to do is be like, okay, I'm going to run the point. I'm going to look to my man. I know that Isaiah Thomas is going to get there. And even if Isaiah Thomas does put any lick of defense on Elfrid Payton, he's going to find the open man and it's going to be game over. And that's just what's going to happen. And that's what's going to be the case. Again, the Boston Celtics lose tonight, 110-91 against the Orlando Magic. If you want to call into the FanDuel Studios, please feel free. 347-215-7771 is the number. Again, FanDuel Studios here for CLNS post-game show for the Boston Celtics. Again, they lose tonight, and as I've mentioned, I've kind of broken down how the game went. Again, just not enough answers for a guy like Nikola Vucevic. When Evan Fournier came off the bench late in the second quarter, that was kind of when you figured, okay, this is going to be one of those nights where, honestly, the Boston Celtics just don't have the firepower to compete, especially off the bench. Again, if that adjustment would have been made with Evan Turner playing maybe 32 instead of 20, if they would have flip-flopped minutes between Isaiah Thomas and Evan Turner, you would have seen probably a better production of value when it came to the Boston Celtics than it was if Isaiah Thomas was the guy playing the more minutes. Probably been a better outcome. I still don't think with the amount of energy and the shooting production that happened in this one, again, Evan Turner, 1-for-7. Jared Sollinger, 1-for-7. And again, Nikola Vucevic, I know he only went 9-for-19, but the guy, when he had his open shot, he had a lot of open shots in this game. And from that perspective, when you have the big man getting those kind of shots like he did, you're just going to allow for a team to really open up the floor and find ways to score on many different possessions. And that's what the Orlando Magic did tonight. And you got to give them credit for that standpoint. The Orlando Magic, again, 9-8. Boston, they're now 9-8 as well. Two teams fighting for a bottom spot there in the Eastern Conference. There's a lot of other teams in the Eastern Conference. One thing I wanted to mention going away from the post-game show, and again, if you'd like to call in and talk about this game, I know, again, the New England Patriots are playing tonight. And I know that another team in the Denver Broncos are playing the New England Patriots. I know that that's happening. I understand not many people will call in, but if you want to, feel free. 347-215-7771. There was some interesting dialogue on the show today, on the game tonight, about the Eastern Conference and how the Eastern Conference is looking stronger than the Western Conference. And I'm actually going to make the debate and say this. I think from top to bottom, the Eastern Conference is more balanced than the Western Conference. I think the Eastern Conference is more of the balanced conference, where I think the Western Conference is way top heavy. You've got so many teams in the Western Conference that are championship ready. In the Golden State Warriors, obviously, they're now 18-0. We'll get to the scoreboard for tonight here in a moment, but they're now 18-0. The Spurs are 14-3. The Oklahoma City Thunder are 11-6, and now Kevin Durant's back, and he looks like he is ready to go after coming back from some of his injury issues. Dallas is playing out of their mind at 10-7, and Memphis is coming back to life at 10-8 now. And then Utah is making their step. The Clippers are they're scary looking right now. They don't look like a team that's really ready to take that next step as a franchise as I thought they would this year. Phoenix, they're still an average team. 8-9 right now. They're gonna be 9-9 probably next week, or they're gonna be 10-9. They're gonna go on these two games. It's gonna happen for Phoenix. They're an average team. Minnesota, they're playing out of their mind right now. 8-9. They're playing great. Portland, 7-10. If Portland is 7-10 and hovering around a playoff spot in the Western Conference, you know you have a problem in your conference when it comes to the bottom portion. When it comes to the top portion, they're totally fine. Like I said, Golden State, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Dallas, Memphis, really good teams. But the East, look at all these teams. Cleveland, obviously, as we know, probably the best team in the Eastern Conference. Indiana, Miami, both 10-5. Chicago, 9-5. Toronto, 11-7. And they started off 6-0, remember. Charlotte, 10-7. Atlanta, 11-8. Orlando, Boston, Detroit, New York, Washington. This is a loaded, talented conference in the East. And this is the first time I've been able to say that since probably the late 90s. This is the year where we could see the shift in the Eastern Conference from the West go to the Eastern Conference when it comes to overall capability and our chance to see a team like the like a team like Boston and Orlando, like we saw tonight. These two teams are going to get better, and they're at the bottom of the East. And in the West, when you look at it, the Clippers are just getting older. They're a good team, but they're inconsistent, but they're not going to get better when it comes to potential. Phoenix, average team. Two really good guards, but outside of that, average team. Memphis, they're getting older. They're not going to get any better than what they are right now. Their team is only going to get older. Dallas is an old team. Oklahoma City, for the most part, has been around the block. They know what's up. They're not going to get much better than what they are right now. They're still really good. Oklahoma City's really good. Dallas is really good. But they're not going to get better. San Antonio, as we know, they've got an old core, but the rest of their team, majority-wise, is young, but they're not going to get great. Golden State's really the only team in the West that has the potential to be great for a long time. But the East has all these young and up-and-coming teams. Indiana, Miami. Yeah, Miami is an old Dwayne Wade, but the rest of them are young and getting better. Chicago has a young team that's only getting better. Yeah, they have a couple of guys who are getting up there in age, but the rest of that team is really young and getting better. Toronto is young and getting better. Charlotte is a team with a chip on their shoulder. Atlanta is a team that's consistent. You're looking at a really, really balanced Eastern Conference, whereas the West is just really, really good at the top, and at the bottom, it's like, yee. Like, it gets bad when it gets to the bottom. I mean, it gets bad. Like, there are some bad teams in the Western Conference near the bottom. But near the top, you're looking at championship-contending teams. It's uneven in the West. And in the Eastern Conference, this might be the case. We're coming into a playoff series in the Eastern Conference. There might be some better playoff series in the Eastern Conference playoffs this year, whereas in the Western Conference playoffs, we might see some serious duds. Like, we might see some serious sweeps, some really bad matchups, and it might just be a clear-cut favorite for either the Spurs or the Warriors. And unless we see the Spurs and Warriors, or maybe even Oklahoma City and San Antonio, or Oklahoma City and Golden State, or whatever, unless we see a big-time matchup, you're not going to see some great matchups in the West, because there's a lot of bad below-average teams in the bottom portion of that conference. Whereas in the East, outside of Cleveland, Indiana, if you saw Indiana and Atlanta play right now, you would have no idea that Atlanta is at the bottom of that conference. You'd have no idea. Indiana, you'd have no idea they're at the top of that conference. You would think they were in the same ballpark. Miami and Charlotte, Again, Miami's number three right now, tied for the top spot. You wouldn't think Charlotte and them are anywhere near what it's a middle ground in the Eastern Conference. That is what I'm talking about. And their middle ground is really, really balanced compared to the Western Conference. So hearing the remarks tonight on the game about how the Eastern Conference might be better than the Western Conference, I think from an overall perspective, I think the Eastern Conference is better. Now, I know that Philadelphia is 0-18. I get it. And we're going to talk about that here in a moment. But Brooklyn, 4-13. I mean, Milwaukee, 6-11. Milwaukee's not playing good. But is that from the debate, from the standpoint of that they're young and that they're not playing well? Or is it the fact that Eastern Conference is balanced and that they're tough and adjusting? Milwaukee was a middle-of-the-pack playoff team last year. And now they're a team that is near the bottom of the Eastern Conference. It's so loaded when it comes to balance in the West, in the Eastern Conference, that pretty much any team outside of Cleveland is going to hang around and be a tough draw. So you're looking at an Eastern Conference that is, I wouldn't say overall compared to the top spot teams, better. But when it comes to balance from 2 through 10, I would say is better than the Western Conference, because 2 through 10 in the Western Conference, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Dallas, Memphis, Utah, L.A., Clippers, Phoenix, could anybody make the debate that a team like San Antonio is not light years better than the Minnesota Timberwolves right now? They are light years better than the Minnesota Timberwolves, whereas in the Eastern Conference, you got Indiana, Miami, Chicago, Toronto, Charlotte, Atlanta, Orlando, Boston. Would you make the case that Indiana is light years better than the Celtics team right now? I don't think so. I don't think Atlanta is light years better than this Boston team. I don't think Indiana is light years better than any of those teams I just mentioned. Detroit is out of a playoff picture right now. And you got a team like Indiana who is, I mean, hovering around a 10-5 spot, which I've been excited about Indiana before the season started. If those of you don't listen to the Hoopers log, I have been super excited about this Indiana team since the get-go, and they're starting to prove me right, which I'm giddy. But on the whole, I mean, you can't make the debate that this Indiana team is so much better than Detroit. They're not unbelievably better. They're not that much better. But in the West, you can make the case that the Spurs are way better than Phoenix. They're way better than Minnesota. They're way better than Portland. And even right now, they're way better than the Clippers. So it's, when it comes to overall balance in the East, that is a way better conference overall when it comes to balance. When it comes to powers, no. No, there's only one power in the East. But when it comes to everyone below Cleveland, it is a draw of the hat, really. It is a draw of the hat on who is good. Because in the West, like I said, four teams, that's all you really got. Outside of that, I mean, those are not championship contending teams. And it's starting to prove more and more. And again, this could all change in a month, 2 months. It could all change 2 months from now. We could be looking at a completely different scenario. But as of right now, I mean, you only really got four or five teams in the West that have a chance. One team in the East, but the rest could just make themselves legitimate cases here over the next month or two. So from an overall balance perspective, I'd say the East is better than the West. I would say that. I would not have a problem debating that with anybody who's a higher power. Because, again, Golden State, 18-0. But once you get away from them, once you get away from that ability for Golden State, 14-3 San Antonio, great. Oklahoma City, great. Dallas, great. Memphis, really playing really well now. Outside of that, Utah, I mean, I think Utah is good. Don't get me wrong. But they're nowhere near where they need to be as a championship contending team. The Clippers, have you watched them recently? They are so inconsistent. Phoenix, they're the definition of average. Minnesota, they're a baby-faced ball club that's hanging around. This is not a very powerful Western Conference. And for people to say that they're clearly still better in the Western Conference, I disagree. I think the East is starting to find themselves and start to shine their light on how difficult they are and how much of a gritty bunch of conference that conference really is. And I think the conference is starting to prove themselves, and they have that opportunity to prove themselves here until Christmas and beyond from this point forward until we get to the Christmas mark in the NBA. I want to bring up some scores for the night in the NBA. Again, no one's really listening. I know no one's listening. I mean, come on now. The Celtics just got their doors blown off. People probably turned off the game to go turn on the New England Patriot game. I get it. I would too, to be 100% honest with you. I'm probably just a voice in the dark right now. I totally get it. If you want to call into the FanDuel Studios and talk about this game, 347-215-7771 is the phone number. I'm just going to break down some scores, and I'm going to head on out of here, and I'm going to go watch that game myself. Here's what happened tonight in the NBA. And again, it goes to show you how tough this Eastern Conference is. The Charlotte Hornets beat the Milwaukee Bucks 87-82. They're now 10-7 on the young season. Detroit and Brooklyn. Again, Brooklyn is 3-13. They've won three games in the last couple of weeks now, and they just beat Detroit by four. And Detroit at one point was one of those teams we were talking about as being a legit contender in the East. Brooklyn beat them on a Thanksgiving weekend. Again, the East is battle-tested. Again, we just talked about Orlando and Boston tonight. Phoenix and Toronto. Toronto just – they lost to Phoenix. That's going to happen from time to time, but Toronto's still up there. Phoenix got the win 107-102. Memphis, now they've beaten the Philadelphia 76ers 92-84. The Philadelphia 76ers are 0-18. If you listen to me on the Hooper's Log, we will be talking about that tomorrow. We have a lot to talk about on the Hooper's Log tomorrow, me and Andrew, for those of you that listen. Again, that show will be on at 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. It is going to be jam-packed. We have a long show to go over. A lot of basketball stuff, a lot of drama in college basketball, NBA. It's going to be absolutely insane from the standpoint of just overall, just this weekend was nuts when it came to overall just insanity. And so when it comes to the Philadelphia 0-18, the longest losing streak in professional sports history in the United States. I believe they've lost 27 in a row, if I'm not mistaken. That is unprecedented. That is horrible. That is so bad. You talk about a team that's destined, and I mean destined to get a guy like Ben Simmons. That's what the Philadelphia 76ers are playing for right now, and it's happening. Midway through the third quarter, we got the Rockets and Knicks. The Knicks are winning 60-54. The Rockets have not been playing well. They're 6-10 right now playing this game in Madison Square Garden. I will be breaking down a post-game show about a month from today, actually, against the Celtics at the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. I'll be talking about that one here in about a month. It's going to be a fun one. But, man, you talk about a game in – you talk about a team in Houston where they are just one player-centric in James Harden. It is a joke right now in Houston on how bad that organization's been playing, and especially with the loss of Kevin McHale. Man, you talk about inmates running the asylum. It is absolutely – a joke there in Houston. And then later on tonight, obviously, as you've heard, Kobe Bryant's going to announce his retirement here shortly, within the next couple of days or so, about how he's going to retire in the NBA after this season of the 2015-2016 season. Hopefully that's legit, because he said that a couple of times over the last couple of years, or at least over the summer. And then he said, I'm going to play for a couple more years. I'd like to play for Team USA, whoop-de-woo. Again, there's a lot of things that he has said and a lot of things that he's talking about doing, but, I mean, realistically, I really don't know if he's ever actually going to retire this year. I mean, who knows? He could say that, and then this team could go on a five-game winning streak, and then he'll say, oh, I'm going to come back next year. I don't know. And hopefully he does retire soon because, again, the guy is a legend. I want people to remember him as a legend, and I know people here on the Celtics post-game radio show don't want to hear that, but he is a legend, whether we like it or not. They play the Pacers tonight in Staples Center. That'll be watched definitely by those of you who are Kobe fans. That game will be played here in about a half an hour as of right now. Again, the Boston Celtics lose 110-91. If you'd like to call in and talk about the game real quick, we're going to wrap the show up 347-215-7771, but I can tell no one is listening. And if you are, you are a true patron to the Boston Celtics, for you are probably watching the New England Patriots play right now against the Denver Broncos. Let's give you a little bit of a score update in that one. Again, the Patriots undefeated, 10-0, 11-0, I believe. Are they 11-0? No, they're 10-0, 10-0 playing the Broncos. They're just starting the second quarter. The Patriots are up 7-0. Hopefully, they get the victory so they can run that record to 11-0. Again, thank you again for listening. Have a great night. And again, tomorrow the Boston Celtics will be playing the second game of a back-to-back. They will be playing, I believe, the Miami Heat on Monday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The Miami Heat will have the post-game show for you here on CLNS Radio. The Boston Celtics are now 9-8. The Miami Heat 10-5. And you're looking at a game where, again, if the Boston Celtics win, they find themselves back in a potential playoff spot. It's early. Game number 18 tomorrow. It's so early in the season. I mean, we're almost near the quarter pole. Give it about a couple more weeks, we'll be at the quarter pole in the NBA season. For me, my name is Simo Buckets. Chris Morrison, I do the Hooper's Log podcast here on CLNS Radio. And again, I thank you again for listening. We didn't get Corey on the show, so hopefully we can fix that. But again, Thank you again for listening. We will see you tomorrow after the Boston Celtics Heat game. Good night, everybody.